Great stuff. Thank you, guys. Appreciate that. Before he gets off the stage, this is one of our elders. I want to introduce our elders. This is Tracy Dyer. He's the older guy up here. And he's younger than I am, but that I don't count. I want to introduce our elders. That's Tracy. Rob Powell, if you'll stand up where you're at. Dave Rowland, I think, is here somewhere. Dave, he's way in the back. Myron Aish. And then Ryan Mott is a state policeman, and he's at work today. They're just great guys. They love God. They love our church. And if you don't like anything that I say, you may see them afterwards and talk to them. This is a little different than usual. I'm going to give a congregational update, and I hope this will not only inform you but also encourage you for the future of this church and what God's doing here. We do these about twice a year, so we'll do one in January around annual meeting time as well. If you have your Bibles, Mark 2 is where I'm going to start. I want us to look at this as we set the stage for this update. In Mark 2, verse 1, it says, "A few days later, when Jesus again entered Capernaum, the people heard that he had come home. They gathered in such large numbers that there was no room left, not even outside the door, and he preached the word to them." I want you to notice how popular Jesus is here, how people are drawn to him. And many people are crowding into this place where he was. And I just got to thinking, if we as a church lift up Jesus, he will draw people to himself. There's just something appealing about him. And the more we as a church and as individuals emulate him and be Jesus to our community and to our neighbors, the more people will be attracted. Verse 3, "Some men came, bringing to him a paralyzed man carried by four of them. Since they could not get him to Jesus because of the crowd, they made an opening in the roof above Jesus by digging through it and then lowered the mat the man was lying on. When Jesus saw their faith, he said to the paralyzed man, 'Son, your sins are forgiven.'" So four men bring this guy to Jesus because he needs healing. He's crippled. They can't get through the door because of all the people, so they go through the roof. Now, their roofs are obviously a little different than ours, obviously. He needs healing after being let down, and Jesus can see that, obviously, but Jesus doesn't heal him, at least not at first. He forgives him. Huge lesson for us here. Our biggest need is often not what we think it is. We think, well, I need financial help, or I need help with my health and physical help, or I need help with a relationship, whatever it might be. And those are very real needs. This man is very, really crippled and in very need of healing. But his bigger need is his relationship to God. And that's the biggest need in everyone's life. Let us never forget that. Now, some teachers of the law were sitting there thinking to themselves, "Why does this fellow talk like that? He's blaspheming. Who can forgive sins but God alone?" So he's popular, but he's not popular with everyone. Not everyone likes him, likes what he does or what he says. They think he's blaspheming. And we need to understand as well that there will always be some resistance. The world is not friendly to Christ. Church work is always a struggle, and there will always be some resistance. Verse 8, I love this. "Immediately Jesus knew in his spirit that this was what they were thinking in their hearts. And he said to them, 'Why are you thinking these things?'" Wouldn't you like that power to know what people are thinking? I don't think I would. I don't think I'd want to know that. Jesus is scary. Can you just imagine Jesus knowing your thoughts and we put it up on the screen? Well, here's what so-and-so is thinking today. That's scary. But he knows everything we're thinking. Then he says, verse 9, "Which is easier, to say, 'This paralyzed man, your sins are forgiven,' or to say, 'Get up, take your mat, and walk?' But I want you to know that the Son of Man has authority on earth to forgive sins." And so he said to the man, "I tell you, get up, take your mat, and go home." He got up, took his mat, and walked out in full view of them all. This amazed everyone, and they praised God, saying, "We have never seen anything like this." There's a ton in these 12 verses. There's the power of Jesus to heal, his authority to forgive sins. We have the motif of conflict. But the thing that jumps out for me is these four unnamed men who did everything they could to bring their crippled friend to Jesus for healing. They are the heroes. So what about these four guys can we apply today to us as individuals and to us as a church? Well, first of all, they knew someone who needed Jesus. In fact, they didn't just know him. They were probably good friends with him. And this is huge for us. In order to bring people to Jesus, we have to know people who need Jesus. So one question for us is, are we close enough to non-believers to impact them for Christ? Years ago, I read a statistic, and it's probably still true, that if you have been in the church for 6 years or longer, odds are that you have no deep, meaningful relationships left outside the church. In other words, if you've been involved in the church, all your close friends are now in the church, in the body of Christ, which is great in one sense, but has a downside. Vince Antonucci, who's a preacher, said, if you're not close to someone who's not close to God, you're not as close to God as you think. If all our friends are in the church and all our connections are Christians, we're really not like Jesus. Because he was reaching out to those who were not connected, those who were on the outside, those who were on the fringe. He was always going to people who needed him. He just didn't stay in a huddle with his 12 disciples. He took those 12 to meet people and to impact them, and then he sent them out on their own to go and impact people. And he sends us out to go into all the world. So, can you name one person or one family that you know they need Jesus and you're good friends with them? If you don't have any such friends, at least start praying about it. Pray for non-Christians. Pray that you could get close to them, have impact. That's our mission, to make disciples of those who are not disciples. Here's the second thing. They faced a barrier to get them to Jesus. The house is jam-packed with no way to get to Christ, and they had to think outside the box. And I think we need to think, what are the barriers facing our friends and our neighbors to know Jesus? What barriers do we have in our individual lives in reaching others? As a church, what barriers do we have? Are we friendly? Are we welcoming to guests? Is our building a barrier? Are the sermons a barrier? Is the music a barrier? We need people to feel welcome and wanted. We need to break down whatever barrier we can. Harry Blevins comes to first service, and he was telling me about a friend of his who died just recently. And when Harry and Caroline moved to that town, their first Sunday in that church, this man sat down next to them, total stranger, introduced himself and said, "Hi, I'm so-and-so, and I'm going to be your best friend." Total stranger. And he did become Harry's best friend. That's welcoming and wanting. That's breaking down barriers. So this person or this family that you know they need Jesus, what barriers are keeping them from Christ? What barriers do we have in this church that might make it hard for someone to connect and come to Christ? Third thing about these guys, they did something crazy to get them to Christ. They couldn't get in the door, so they go up through the roof, and these men show persistence, they show compassion, and they show a little bit of crazy, whatever it takes. And again, how crazy are we willing to become to get people to Jesus? Would we tear open a roof? How far would we go? What changes would we make as a church to bring people to Christ? Another thing, takes a team. Four guys, not one, got him to Jesus. Took four guys to carry him there, four guys to tear open the roof, and that's one reason Jesus left us the church. Because people have multiple needs, and the church has multiple gifts and is equipped to meet those various needs. And the people of God are always a community. It always has been. Jesus formed a community. The church as a team reaches out to others. Very seldom does one person reach one person and be the only exclusive influence in their lives. It takes more than one. And then number five, if changes are made to remove barriers, there's going to be resistance. Some are not going to like it. I don't like change, just to be honest about it. All change makes people uncomfortable. But Jesus was a change agent. He brought about a new way. And notice that the resistance here is by the religious people. Yeah, there's often resistance to the gospel outside the church, but sometimes resistance comes from inside, even church leaders. So, this is our question as a church. How do we bring crippled people to Christ? What barriers have to be moved? And those are questions we have to constantly have before us, because that is our mission. Now, August 4th, a few weeks ago, the staff and elders had an all-day retreat at Little Galilee Camp. We worshiped together. We prayed together. We ate donuts together. We studied together. And then we ate more donuts together. And we talked about bringing people to Christ and our effectiveness as a church. We looked at our mission, our core values, and our vision, you know, and just asked, how are we doing in these areas? And we have copies for you at the door this morning, and they're also going to be at the prayer vigil, our mission, core values, and vision. And you can pick one up on the way out. But in all these areas we looked at, we decided, you know, there's some things we're doing pretty well, and there's some areas we need to be improving. And I can't go over everything we talked about, and we really didn't have enough time to talk about everything. But here's a few things I want to give you. In our mission, which is love God, love people, and reach the world. I mean, the two greatest commandments, love God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. Love your neighbor as yourself, the second greatest commandment. And reaching the world is the great commission. Those don't change because Jesus' words to us have not changed. Then our core values is what's core to us as a church. Our core beliefs, deeply held beliefs, and why we do what we do. Jesus is the center of all we do and believe. That will not change. The Bible is our final authority for faith, thought, and practice. That will not change. Grace and truth are at the heart of our message. I'll address that in just a bit. We're called to tell others about Jesus. Followers of Jesus need to be active in a healthy community with one another. That's the church. And spiritual disciplines like worship, prayer, and service develop spiritual maturity. Now, we made one change, and that is adding the words and truth. Grace and truth are at the heart of our message. And we added those words knowing that grace is basic. You know, we're all saved by grace. No one is saved without grace. But truth is also basic. Jesus said, I am the truth. And if all you have is grace, you know, if all we have is grace, then basically anything goes. You can believe whatever you want to believe. And that's not healthy, and that's not Jesus. And if all we have is truth and no grace, that leads to legalism. That leads to cold, hard, even mean. It's what causes divisions in church. And so we need both grace and truth to be at the core of our church. So that's one change we made. And then we talked about specific programs, and we really needed 3 days instead of a few hours. Some ministry ideas about reaching out, getting beyond our four walls. We talked about our worship services and doing a little more overlap with the hymn involved in second service and a little more contemporary first service, you know, a little more blended and overlap. But here's the main things we want to communicate today to you. We're going to make some staff changes, and one is that worship will be overseen by volunteers when MJ leaves. Now, MJ's done a really good job for us, but he's going to be doing his internship through Lincoln Christian University starting in January, so he will be done by the end of the year. And the elders have decided that worship planning and leading will be in-house after MJ leaves. Tracy Dyer, Garrett LaVault will oversee second service. Erin Davis from Elkhart has said she would help when needed. We have others in this congregation that are capable, and it's something we're going to try without a paid staff person and see how it goes. If it becomes too much, we may need to hire part-time again. But just to sum up, MJ is going to leave us in a few months, and we're going to do it in-house. I will continue to oversee first service worship, what I've been doing for the last year or so. Second change, and this is probably the biggest one. We will be asking for your approval for Casey McCormick to become the next senior minister. When we hired Casey last year, that was the goal, but we wanted to see how things went for a while, so we did not promise him that position. We wanted to see if he behaved, kept his nose clean. We wanted to see if he could find Ecclesiastes and spell Ecclesiastes, you know, all these important questions. We wanted to see how you responded to him. And we had some pretty high expectations when we hired him, and he has met them and even surpassed them in some ways. He's an excellent co-worker, a good leader, great work ethic. The congregation seems to be responding to him, so the elders do believe we should move ahead with decision. You will need to approve him, and you will be given that opportunity. We've not decided exactly when, but it'll probably be fairly soon. We will ask for your affirmation. The planned starting date for Casey to be the senior minister, if he's approved by you, will be sometime next year. We're possibly looking at September for this transition. So with that in mind, starting now, Casey's going to preach a little more often. I'll still be preaching some too. But this is going to give him more opportunity to connect with you, give you more time to get to know him. He is a good preacher, but he's still learning and growing. He's taking some master level classes over at LCU. I know he wants to get his master's degree. And we just, as a group, elders and staff, feel confident he can lead this church into the future. Now, he got to read this. I wanted him to read it before I said all this. And he said, I'm too nice in what I'm saying. He's kind of embarrassed. And I'll just agree that he is not perfect. So I'm going to tell you all the good things, and then you can find out for yourself the other side. He will also become the staff overseer. He will take on more and more of the leadership. I'll still be the senior minister in this transition time, be more of a mentor to him, and we'll do a lot of co-leading during this transition year. Me, one immediate change that you will see is I'll be preaching a little less. But I am taking on the added responsibility of teaching Tracy Dyer's Sunday school class. And if you know who's in there, you know it's a pretty tough group to deal with. You know who you are. And I'm just kidding. Kind of. But I know when people see me preaching less, people wonder, well, what's Mark do all week? I mean, does he have anything to do? And when I first came, my only speaking responsibility was Sunday morning. That's all I did. Well, since then, I've taken on planning and overseeing first service worship. I've taken on leading the Vanderlee Church service every Tuesday. I am going to be teaching regularly, and all those have been added to my plate since I started 9 years ago. So for you who are worried that I won't have enough to do, that should not be a worry, even though I am preaching a little less. I should say this change has been initiated by me, by Ellen and me. I'm not being pushed out. I just feel like it is time for me to step down as the senior minister. What is the future for Ellen and I after Casey takes over? We're not sure. We definitely plan to be here until Casey takes over, of course, but beyond that, it's open-ended. I may stay on staff and may not. Some of this depends on where the church is at. And of course, we'll be just in constant communication with the elders and staff about what's best. And Ellen and I love it here. We love this church. We've made some good friends. We owe this church, and we want the best for this church. And so we're going to see what happens and see how God leads. And the only definite right now is I would like to be relieved of being the senior minister next year. It's kind of exciting, kind of sad, you know, just a lot of emotions going through us on this. Then number four, Amy's hours are going to increase. We hired Amy Dyer about a year and a half ago, and she has been more than what we could have hoped for. She's good with people, good worker, very capable. Right now, she's at 30 hours a week, and we're going to add 10 hours to make her full-time, primarily to help Casey with some of the administrative work that he is doing and take some off of his plate since he's taking on more leadership responsibilities. We do have the hours in the budget, so it won't change our budget needs for this year, so financially, this should not be an issue. Now, you know this, but here's the thing, and you know this. When you hire good people, good things happen. And Casey was a good hire. We've grown since we've taken him on. New people are connecting administratively. He's been excellent in overseeing the facilities. Amy was a good hire. She's kept things smooth in the office and helps keep the boys in the office in line. And we believe she will really be a big help on the administrative side of things. Most of you know, for 15 years, Teresa Montgomery was our secretary, and she was more than a secretary. She had a lot of ministry, and we were blessed by her. Well, Amy's kind of evolving into that same kind of role, and she will help immensely. Now, there's one more staff matter, and I am going to let Garrett LaVault come and tell you about that one.
Yeah, I'm actually up here to tell you about all the bad of Casey McCormick. And so, no, actually, there's two different staff things I want to talk about. First, if you remember back, we had a CIY video, and students shared about their experiences and stuff like that. One of the students, Nate Dyer, he graduated this past May. He had talked about wanting to go into youth ministry, and it's something that he and I have been talking about. And this is kind of his gap year, and so what we thought would be a good idea was to open up an internship opportunity for him here in the youth program. And so Nate is our unpaid intern he's our unpaid intern until May, you know, maybe longer. I don't know. We'll see how it goes. But so far, so good. This was his second week in the office. And he still likes it there. So if you see Nate walking around with keys, those are his, and he is supposed to be here. And you know, if you're like, man, that's a high school kid doing youth ministry stuff, he is graduated and he is doing really good stuff. So he's supposed to be doing the things he's doing. The other thing, Emily and I, we've been here the last 3 years, and We've developed really great friendships with you, and we love you guys, and we feel really connected with you, and we feel like you're a part of our family. And so we wanted to let you know that our family is growing. And Emily and I, we are expecting our first child in February of next year. And so be praying for us. Be praying for Emily. Apparently, like, pregnancy is hard. Didn't really, like, understand that fully. And be praying for me, too. I say dumb things, and I don't understand a lot of things. And so we just appreciate that. And we're so thankful for you, and we're so thankful that we get to be a part of this congregation.
It's going to be fun watching him. I think he'll be a great daddy. There's another change we want to inform you. We're going to ask you to approve a couple changes in the bylaws. We want to change the word deacon to ministry leader. Now, there's a few other things that we need to adjust to, but this is the biggest change, and we believe this will make us more in line with the concept of biblical deacons. Deacons are leaders that do ministry. In fact, the word deacon should be translated minister. And currently, we have 15 to 20 ministry leaders. They oversee Sunday school, funeral dinners, different parts of the facility, small groups, finances, worship, youth, children, meals ministry. Just a lot of different ministries are headed up by these ministry leaders. Why are we changing the terminology? Mainly because the word deacon in our culture carries the wrong connotation of an office or a position that sits on the church board. But there are no church boards in the Bible. And biblically, the elders oversee the church, and the deacons assist the elders by carrying out various ministries. Like in Acts 6, seven men were selected to minister to the widows, and they were ministry leaders. So we're going to change the name. And really, it's a better translation of the text. Now, if you want to continue to use the word deacon in referring to our ministry leaders, that is just fine, but we believe this better communicates their biblical function in the church. We plan to vote on this bylaw change at the January annual meeting. And if you have any questions or want some clarification, we're offering a time Tuesday night, coffee with the elders, we call it, at 7 o'clock in the room across from my office in the other building. And feel free to drop in anytime between 7 and 8 if you'd like to talk to them. If you want to just come and have prayer with the elders, you're welcome to come and do that too. We're changing the name of our adult Sunday school to Adult Bible Fellowship, because Adult Bible Fellowship describes what our adult Sunday school is. A is adult. Adults need to learn. You need to keep learning. Never quit learning. B is Bible. It's our guidebook, our instruction book. We have to be intimately involved with the Bible. And F is the fellowship. Sharing of our lives emotionally, intellectually, and spiritually, and sometimes even financially. So we want you to connect with the Bible and in fellowship with other believers. There was a Lilly-sponsored study of youth and adults, and it concluded of all the areas of congregational life we examined, involvement in an effective Christian education program has the strongest tie to a person's growth in faith. I mean, that is where it's at. I've seen this with our youth. Those who've been in Sunday school consistently tend to be more mature spiritually. They tend to be more knowledgeable than those who are not. I'm just generally speaking, of course. And this is true for adults, too. And it is never too late for you as an adult to start learning. We have 90-year-olds in an ABF. One is the story by Wyatt Watercotti, which I believe, by the way, this offering of ABFs is really going to be really strong this fall. Anyway, the story by White Watercotti, basic overview of the Bible, going to start September 9th. All these ABFs, it's kind of our kickoff, September 9th. A few years ago, this whole church went through this story, and if you've not been through it, or if you feel you need a better grasp of the Bible, and you don't know the scripture, this is the one for you. If you've not been through this story, I would say, please sign up for this one. And why it's an excellent teacher, you'll get a lot out of that. Believe by Casey McCormick is living the story of the Bible to become more like Jesus. This is a follow-up to the story. Basic discipleship. What do I believe? What should I do? Who am I becoming? It gives you a full, rounded picture of a walk with Jesus. And it's a good follow-up to the story if you've already been through that. Many of our young adults go into Casey's class, but any age is welcome to be in there. We have a men's class that's forming, How God Makes Men, led by Tad Blackader. looking at God's impact on 10 men in the Bible and the principles for today's man. Great stuff from a biblical perspective by Patrick Morley, wrote the book for the foundation of this, and he's great with men's stuff. Tad will be leading. There'll also be some elders in there. And not to be outdone by the men or by Tad, Hannah Blacketer is going to have a class for the women only, which she's going to continue doing. I've never been in that class, obviously, but everything I hear, it is excellent. And the Gospel of John is an amazing account of Jesus. Hannah's a good teacher, good role model, and ladies, that might be a good one for you. Fruit of the Spirit with Pat Strowman, 9 decisions that will transform your life today based on Galatians, Fruit of the Spirit, and also from a book by David Jeremiah. And anything by David Jeremiah is always insightful and readable, and you'd be blessed by being in there. Breathing Room with Jacob Wilson. I don't know about you, but sometimes our lives feel out of control, and we need some breathing room in our schedules. And this is a study from Andy Stanley, and if you ever heard him, again, excellent stuff. I mean, just really some good choices. And then I'm going to be doing the book of Revelation. We need you to sign up. Even if you are already in a class and plan to stay in that class, we need you to still sign up so we can order materials for certain classes. We may need to move classes because of fluctuation of class size. So please sign up, put it in the offering plate, or hand it to a staff or elder. You can do that this morning or next week. There is one more part of Mark 2 that I want to emphasize in verse 1. They gathered in such large numbers that there was no room left, not even outside the door, and he preached the word to them. Jesus draws a crowd. What's he do? Preach the word. This is basic and foundational to following Christ. We want to be a word-based church. We want you to be a word-based follower of Christ. Personally, for me, I watch Sunday school attendance more important than worship attendance. Because if Sunday school and ABS are strong, our church will be strong. And I would encourage you and ask you, challenge you to commit to 10 weeks in an ABF. Because it'll take some time to connect and feel comfortable in there. So commit to 10 weeks to whatever you sign up for. By the way, if you sign up for one and you find out this is not for me, you can visit other ABFs too and see if you find something that fits. Just to summarize, I've been here 9 years now. I'll be starting my 10th year next month. And I think this past year has been the best in the life of this church. We've seen some growth. Giving has been good. Staff additions have worked out so well. But the biggest thing is people are actually changing. And we're seeing people affected by the ministry of Christ through this body of believers. We planned the prayer vigil that starts at noon today with this update in mind. And we need to bathe all these matters in prayer. So if you have not signed up, there's still a few slots over at the table over there. If you did sign up, please remember to be here. We need you to pray. It's going to be over in the sanctuary of the other building. And so if you don't remember what you signed up for, check the list and you can see and be here for that. I'm going to ask Dave Rowland, one of our elders, to come and close with prayer. Dave is, I believe, our longest serving elder and our most mature elder. And he's a good man of God. Pray for us.
Our Father in heaven, we consider it an honor to be a part of your church, to have responsibilities in your church. Lord, I pray that as we contemplate the future and we look at changes that are taking place, that you will help us to keep our eye on the goal of loving you with all of our heart, soul, strength, and mind, and loving others, to love our neighbor as ourselves, and to make disciples of those who don't know you, to take the good news that we have enjoyed, that we have believed, to those that have not heard and have not yet believed. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.